Hour number two here, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. We are live at Gillette Stadium here on a Patriots Monday. What you just heard was the big play in the game there at the end. An 11-play drive went 53 yards. They ended up turning it over on downs, but on 2nd and 10, Brissett hit Jalen Polk on a 12-yard strike over the middle. The replay official reviewed the pass to be incomplete, reversed it, because the toe went down and then the heel landed out of bounds, which is the correct interpretation of the rule. That was the right call. A lot of people were upset about it. Jalen Polk on Instagram today posted a picture of his toe above, you know, with the ankle above the out of bounds line, as though, hey, you know, I caught it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, buddy. Sorry. Two straight weeks. Looked like you caught it. Didn't catch it. And that's unfortunately the way that this one ended. After a three and out from Miami, they got the ball back. Couldn't quite get down to the end zone. If Polk had come down with that and landed in bounds, and that was the end of the game, and the Patriots win 17-15, what kind of show are we having today?
I think we're still ripping the game. I think we're still questioning the team. But I think we are probably not talking about Drake May. That's
Agreed.
Weird to say. It shouldn't really hinge on that one. I mean, what was that?
A game
4 inches of
a
heel?
Game-winning drive with a touchdown pass. I mean, that's Jacoby Brissett doing that. You can't bench him the next week.
Right, and I'm probably talking about that's unfortunate. That's a win that could cost you the second pick in the draft.
A costly win. Yeah,
it could be. Could have been a costly, ugly win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely, because winning changes. I know Mike McDaniel post-game was talking about how bad the game was and how many things he needs to clean up. But it's always easier to clean things up in victory, especially from his perspective.
Right.
That's a team that wasn't planning on competing for a top pick in the draft. They were planning on competing for a playoff spot, maybe a Super Bowl contender spot. So they needed the win more than the Patriots needed the win down in Miami. But they're going to clean up because they stunk too. I want to be clear here. I'm not saying the Patriots stunk. I'm saying the game stunk.
It was
everybody.
Stinky game.
It was a stinky game, but you would have sprayed a bunch of cologne all over it and really smelled a little differently if you had had the game-winning drive, and especially to Jalen Polk, because I think that would have built a little. It's not Drake May to Polk, which would have been the best-case scenario for me, but it's to Jalen Polk, your second-round receiver, making a play with the game on the line. Like, oh, that's something he can build on, the team can build on. You got Kendrick Bourne back. There's the offensive line, the fact that they played maybe their best game of the year probably would have been magnified in a more positive sense.
I think so.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, they gave up those early sacks, but when the game was on the line, they gave Jacoby the time he needed to make the throw to
Polk.
You
got your tackles now. Everything's going to start getting better. You're going to start improving.
Instead, we're
like
talking.
Lines tend to do. Yeah.
Instead, we're talking about, should the offensive coordinator lose his play-calling duties? Should the quarterback lose his starting job? Is it time to see Drake May? Everything changes based on those 4 or 5 inches of heel coming down out of bounds. And by the way, you don't even play into the people. Don't even play into the people. The interpretation. That's a rule. It's not an interpretation.
No, I agree. It's the rule. I agree.
There's no interpretation.
I'm fine.
It's not a dumb rule, Scheim. It's a smart rule. It's the only obvious rule. I don't even know how you would change the rule. It makes no sense to try to think about changing the rule. Because if you change it for toe heel,
first thing that touches is the only thing that counts be then the change to the rule, I guess.
So if a guy's running out of bounds and his heel hits, but then he rolls forward, that counts because he went heel, because everybody runs that way. Don't
well, that's
run
if
like,
they change it to that, then yeah, that's what it would be. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying that's something you could change it to.
I would actually advocate for, and I said this to Fitzy on the Six Rings postgame show, if you really are a league that really wants offense all the time, go to 1 foot. Go to the college and high school rule and just magnify the athletic ability of your athletes. Because think about a guy like, you know, OBJ or back in the day. If he just is trying to like.
Doing much less.
No, not at all. But if he knows all I have to get is like one toe in, he can reach for throws that are probably 5 yards out of play, right?
Yeah.
If you really wanted to change the game in a more offensive looking manner, but with the rules they are now, that was not a touchdown. It shouldn't have been a touchdown, but it could have been a big touchdown.
Yeah, it could have been very, very – we'd be having a different conversation, not about, you know, peppers and that stuff, obviously, but about the
same
team and about the, you know, the quarterback conversation, the offense we'd be looking at differently. We wouldn't be saying the offense is good, but you went down against the defense. You know, you went down against that Miami defense, which isn't terrible. They played a pretty good game, I thought. Miami defense, they got playmakers on all three levels. They got Ramsey back there. They got Campbell rushing the passer. Like, they got some players. They're not a terrible defense. And if you were able to do, and that was right after their touchdown, right? So it was like the ensuing drive. They score to make it 15-10. They kick off to you, and then that was your drive. 11 plays down there, and you turn it over on downs, obviously. But, like, that would have been an answer to a score in the fourth quarter. Like, that would have been a ton of positives to take away from that. And instead, you know, I mean, it's a game of inches, unfortunately. That's the way it is. But, yeah, it ended up going another way. And it was, of course, the right call. So don't call us up today and start complaining about the rule. I don't want to do that today. 617, you can call for other things, though. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Richard in Hyannis with a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Richard.
Richard,
do we not have Richard?
Dick?
He should be there.
Well, he's not, I guess. Richard, we'll pop you on hold. Let's go to Joe and Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
Well, I think, like, officially, the Patriots are officially eliminated from the playoffs, or unofficially eliminated from the playoffs based on yesterday. It's officially a lost season. And you have to start looking. It looks like right now you have a bunch of coaches who are overpromoted. They're not up for the jobs that they've been promoted into. The players are, like, half the players in the roster don't belong in the NFL. And I'll go back to, like, what Bill Walsh said when he first took over the 49ers. Said, it's the worst team in the NFL. If you can't make this team, you can't play in the NFL. So I think a lot of players for the rest of the season have to, like not do stupid things, have to prove that they belong in the NFL. A lot of these coaches are going to have to prove that they actually are worthy of their positions because, I mean, if Alex Van Pelt is probably not going to come back next year as offensive coordinator if they keep putting Jacoby Brissett out there and just keep scoring less than 20 points a game. It's hard to see how DeMarcus Covington comes back as defensive coordinator with this performance, how much the defense got worse from last year to this year. And the offensive line coach definitely not coming back. I mean, Gerard Vale is going to have to do a lot of talking to keep his job, and so is Elliot Wolf.
I don't think that Gerard Mayo's job is going to be on the line no matter what, even if they don't win another game this season. I don't think so. I also think that for Covington and Van Pelt, they're not going to have to fall on their sword in the sense of losing their job after one season. Also, there's a lot of season to go. The defense could get better and gel a little bit and look better down the stretch. The offense could start to look better down the stretch. Drake May could come in and rise all boats. You know, I mean, that's possible too. So before we start going on after 5 weeks about how all these guys are losing their job, there wasn't high expectations to begin with, and they're under the low expectations, but I think they're still right around where those are. So I don't think that this is some massive underachievement. I don't think they're looking at it that way.
Gerard Mayo, to me, will be the coach next year unless he quits, unless he doesn't want it, realizes this isn't for him. DeMarcus Covington, I think, will be here. To me, the important one and the one that hasn't even the rubber hasn't met the road yet is Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Because it's irrelevant what he did with Jacoby Brissett. All that matters is what he does when he gets Drake May on the field, because that is the guy he's developing. If that's a train wreck and that relationship isn't good and the fit isn't good, then you have to have that tough discussion, because it's terrible for the development of Drake May if you change coordinators, but it's even worse if you keep him with a coordinator that isn't the right guy for multiple years moving forward, right?
I agree with that, yeah.
So the important part of Alex Van Pelt's job has not started yet. That's when, potentially Sunday against Houston, Drake May takes the field. That's when we're really talking. It's also important to acknowledge that, rightly so, it was asked this morning, generally when offenses are this bad, at some point there's a play calling change. Gerard Mayo was asked if there was going to be a change in play callers, and he said that is not a consideration right now. Because you have Ben McAdoo, an NFL play caller, just kind of over here dangling in the breeze. Mm-hmm. He's available. He's close. He's be an easy switch to make.
Yep.
He said that's not a consideration right now.
His office is right over there.
Yep.
You know, you want to walk in, knock on the door, see what he's doing, see what he's up to, see if he has any thoughts or any constructive criticism. You can go over and do that. You're right. Mayo said not happening. We're not considering that right now. I was just going to ask you something, and now I can't remember what it is. I was going to bring up a point from what you just said.
It was a
said,
good one.
And it was going to be great.
Really good.
But it just completely jumped out of my mind. Let's
do you
take
think
another,
there will be a point when there is a consideration for, so we're doing the quarterback question. We're doing the, should there be a change at quarterback, which is normal.
Right.
The offense stinks. The quarterback has to change. That's a normal discussion. We're having that discussion. That may change this week.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have the discussion about the play caller? Do you think it's not a consideration in week six we're going into now, right? Yeah,
week six, yes.
It's not a consideration in week six. Is that going to be a talking point or a consideration at some point?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't it have to be?
I think it will be.
Unless Drake May is good.
If May's great, then sure. If May comes in and he struggles, here's what I wanted to ask you. You said that there's nothing you can take away from Van Pelt and the way he's calling plays for Brissett.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
I don't think that his play calling has been particularly great. You know,
I wouldn't say that either.
I'm watching these games, and I'm watching some of the play calls, and I'm looking at it and thinking, you know, Weren't they talking about shorter passes? Weren't they talking about, you know, getting maybe a little more creative, some screen things, coming with the unexpected? I don't see any of that. We're over a month into the season right now. I've seen one sort of fancy little play, that hook and ladder play. And other than that, it just seems like it's run left, run right, run pass until they get to, you know, the end of the half. And then they decide to just pass forever and give the other team the ball with all their timeouts, which has happened like four times now. But that's sort of part of it, too. I mean, he's calling those plays in. He knows how much time's left on the clock. Like, I haven't been impressed with any part of the play calling here, no matter who the quarterback is in these first 5 weeks. If it was May out there, I'd have those same complaints, I think.
I think you'd have those same complaints. I think you'd probably have more complaints. I think people are acknowledging the limitations of Jacoby Brissett as a starting quarterback. We said it coming into the year.
Yeah.
Remember how much we talked about, like, he's the kind of guy that's going to get you 160 yards and one touchdown and no interceptions. Now, he hasn't necessarily lived up to those numbers specifically, but those were our expectations, right? We didn't expect, and especially in a season where numbers were down early, and we were talking about everybody,
right.
It was like nobody was throwing for 200 yards. Everybody was in the 100-yard range. So I get what you're saying. It's funny you bring up that hook and ladder throwback, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't something like that have looked nice? I don't know, when you threw to Hunter Henry in the middle of the field with
totally.
No seconds left. Like,
yeah.
Have some Pop Douglas, somebody's running across.
You could extend the play at least another
something.
Couple seconds.
Give me a dream. Give
yeah.
me that, like, that gasp of breath. Like, could we do this? And yeah. then he gets tackled. That's fine. He gets tackled. But at least I go, well, they had an idea. They
right.
had a plan. It didn't make its way from the chalkboard to the field successfully.
It's a low percentage play, but at least you tried it. Yeah,
less right, low yeah. percentage than just throwing it to the veteran tight end who doesn't really break tackles in the
on
middle
the
of the field.
15-yard line.
And
yeah.
it just ends. Like,
it.
That was a high percentage play to end the game.
Yeah.
That's the only high percentage that came out of that play.
By the way, you were talking about the Brissett, his projected numbers now on ESPN. They have the projected numbers. Do you even want to hear this?
I do, because it's going to make me laugh.
This is horrible. His completion percentage right now is 58.5%. Percentages don't change. 2,366 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 74.2 passer rating.
Do you want
it
me to give you?
It wasn't good enough.
It definitely wasn't
that,
good enough.
Oh, really? Is that? Are we sure that's not good enough?
And then I can give you my
oh my God,
brag obnoxious dad and go, my son's a high school quarterback and his numbers are better than that. And they actually are.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
yeah.
kind of sad.
That sounds like, those numbers I just read you sound like someone who got injured in week 8.
Oh, yeah.
Like a good quarterback who went down in week 8 and like never, and they was trying to rehab through an injury and just couldn't make it back for the rest of the season. And those were his final numbers for the season. That is a full 17-game projection for Jacoby Brissett. Those numbers I just gave you. 2,366 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Because you also need to remember, in these games like the Jets and the Niners, theoretically, you're supposed to pad your stats with cheap comeback numbers. Oh, we're slinging it all over
right.
the field, down 21 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no.
So I got 100 yards passing that really weren't 100 passing yards. They don't even get those somehow. Like that, I don't. Yeah, I'm perplexed. I'm not really perplexed. It is what it is. That's why you need to make the change at quarterback.
I know. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Nothing to be confused about.
Like,
I mean, this is what they signed up for.
I keep comparing it to, you made a defensive coach the offensive coordinator. It was predictably horrific.
Yeah.
And you put this offensive scheme and this quarterback together with no line and no talent at receiver, and it was predictably horrific. Like, there's no, we got what we expected. You got what you should have expected. It, like, there's nothing crazy going on here.
No.
I think he would echo that same sentiment.
Well, we're going to ask him, Gerard, if he echoes that wasn't good enough sentiment.
Yes, we'll see. I'm not sure when we're talking to him exactly. We'll keep the door open here, and if he wants to come in and talk to us, whoever the quarterback wants to come in and talk
anybody.
To
anybody. You don't even have to be a quarterback.
We got a seat right here. Pull up a chair.
Ramondre Stevenson, you want to talk, come in.
Let's chat. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you'd like to call in, we'll get back to your phone calls right after Stiz tells you what's trending. Sanchez is like, who the hell was that? The guy's making the call. Schooler! Wow, my guy Schooler. How about that?
What'd you think of his man bun?
Sanchez?
Yeah.
Strong man bun. I'm not a big man bun guy,
no.
But as far as man buns go, I guess it was all right. I don't know. Why? You didn't like it?
No.
You don't like any man bun.
That's fair to say.
I'm not really a man bun aficionado. I don't know much about man buns.
Would you ever wear one?
No, probably not. My hair doesn't grow that way. My hair grows out. It grows into like a mullet, you know? If it grows out too much. Which I don't think you can turn a mullet into a man bun.
Oh, yeah, you could.
Like,
it's just long enough.
Oh, a housewife, you can't make a mullet into a man bun.
What?
Easy.
Right? You know how people say that? It's the same thing. You can't make a mullet into a man bun.
I don't think we're supposed to say that.
Are you not? I don't know. Apologies, anyway, to all the housewives.
You meant the gardening tool.
Yes, of course, one of those.
You can't marry a gardening tool.
No, that would be really weird. The people would give you weird looks at the church, I think. Anyways, that play, I just wanted to play it because it was one of the only good plays of the game. It was an entertaining thing. They go out there and block the punt. They end up getting it back and missing an easy field goal. It didn't even lead to points.
Nope.
The interception at least led to the touchdown. This didn't lead to anything. But it was, I think, indicative of a special teams unit that didn't play a good game. They had a bunch of shortcomings. They missed the field goal. They had a couple other plays that I didn't love. But in general, that's been your strongest area on this team, I think, by far through 5 weeks, which tells you what you have with this team. And going forward, like when Drake May suddenly is the starter, or has been the starter for a good amount of time, what are you building off of here other than special teams? There's really not much.
Christian Gonzalez. Haven't you watched him?
He was good.
He is now. Well, no. He's better than good. Now he's very good.
He's very good.
I'm not sure he's quite at that level that the promotional Twitter and
PFF says he's the worst defensive back in the history of football, but
yeah,
we think he's pretty good.
I think he is growing more impressive by the week for me. I still think tackling at times isn't his strongest suit, but he was running around with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And that
was right on his hip in the
right
end zone on that one play.
Theoretically, yeah, that shouldn't be a great matchup for him because Tyreek Hill is shorter, quick, like one of the more quick players in the NFL.
And Gonzalez is like this big,
kind of longer.
Right, yeah.
Like, he can run with him. That's a really good sign for his development and what kind of cornerback he can be. And as a defensive coach, whether it's DeMarcus Covington or whoever else, the fact that you say I can match him up with anybody, long receivers, tall receivers, big receivers, quicker, smaller receivers, that is such a luxury. So what is this team building around? Absolutely building around Christian Gonzalez on the defensive side of the ball moving forward. Hopefully, Christian Barmore as well.
Yeah, we'll see. 617-779-7937, your phone number. Let's get back to your phone calls. We've got a lot of you to get to here as we wait to talk with Jacoby Brissett, which we still have not gotten any indication on yet here. So we'll go to the phones. Paul is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I will always defend Jacoby Brissett. You know that.
Yes.
$8 million quarterback. He came and he walked into a mess, which was the four-win team last year.
Yep.
Now, yes, most of these brothers got their money, but I have to say.
Most of the brothers,
most of them that have been here for 2 years, they haven't stepped in yet. Now, I called yesterday and just to say that if wasn't the penalties, we could have won that game. But
Paul, thanks for the call.
The penalties, you could have won the game.
Right.
You were taking shots at the end zone on consecutive drives. Like, you were within one play, one heel, one, catch and run from somebody, Hunter Henry, whoever. Like, with all the penalties, with all the mistakes, with everything that went into it, yes, you absolutely had a chance to win that football game in the closing minutes. You weren't able to close it out.
Right.
You made some questionable.
You caught a ball in the end zone. It's just your foot was a.
Well, there were physical mistakes. There were mental mistakes on the field. I would argue there were mental mistakes on the sideline.
Right.
We haven't really gotten into the details that you run the ball down their throat. You're averaging, which I didn't even know at the time, a franchise record, 7.9 yards per carry.
By the way, did it seem like they were averaging that good in the game? Like, I
glad
heard that
you
afterwards.
Said that.
I was like, what? 8 yards a game? I don't remember a lot of those. There were some big chunk runs.
But how many?
8 yards a game? Yards a carry? I thought it was insane.
I think that actually tells you how many good runs they were churning out.
Right.
Because there was the 33-yard touchdown run for Stevenson. There was another Gibson run where he showed that hesitation and then went down the left sideline for a nice chunk run. But I think it was just a lot of really good runs, like 8-yard runs, basically to average 7.9 yards per carry. But then you get to the end of the game and you're like, yeah, we're just going to throw it. We got all the time in the world. We got timeouts. We got plenty of time. We could run this in if we wanted to, but we're going to throw it.
We can try and bleed these guys. The only way we've won a game this year is by running it down the throats of the Bengals.
And then they didn't.
They had a lead from 3:55 in the first quarter until they scored that touchdown in the fourth, until Miami scored. The Patriots were leading that whole time.
Didn't feel like it always.
It didn't feel like it, but if you're leading, like, they don't lead a lot in these games lately. Like, they don't have leads.
Right.
If you're winning and you want to preserve your lead, why are you having Brissett throw so much and not running the ball when you're getting 8 yards a carry, which again seemed a little pumped up there in that statistic, but it still shows that they were more successful running the ball than passing it, which is duh. I mean, obviously you were.
Do you like Keith Spiracy's?
Yes, I do.
So Rich Keefe of the Midday Show.
Of the
Jones
Midday
and
Show.
Keefe,
yes, right, 10 to 2.
You could read the banner up in the club here.
That was
a stadium
fine-looking banner.
We have a nice-looking banner.
Yeah.
I hope we have a banner someday. Heart. No. Host one, host two. We'll say hard on it. Let's just say host
radio
one.
Radio show.
Radio host show.
One, host two. Yeah.
Just
two
got
six.
A call from Ken. No banner, guys. Sorry.
No banner.
No banner.
Not a banner. No banner for the Patriots in this building and no banner for the afternoon program. But his little conspiracy theory was that Alex Van Pelt is loyal to Jacoby Brissett, feels the pressure that maybe Jacoby Brissett was on the verge of losing his job, so wanted to put on a performance where Jacoby Brissett threw a little bit more, maybe even threw the game-winning touchdown pass, and therefore you can't bench Jacoby Brissett when it happens that way.
I mean, he did sort of throw a game-winning touchdown pass. He threw the pass, and the guy, you know, was in the end zone.
Wasn't a great pass.
Wasn't a good pass at all. He was standing there wide open.
Do you think there's any chance?
On the eye in Patriots.
This would be a little Pete Carroll-like, where Pete Carroll wanted Russell Wilson to get a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl and then cost his team a Super Bowl in doing so.
A little bit lower stakes, I would say, but sure.
Not slightly.
In that same vein, a guy's career, though. Yeah, I mean.
Could be the last time Jacoby Brissett starts a game if he doesn't start next week against Houston.
Sure, and also, do the Patriots want to win games? Do the Patriots really want to win games?
No!
Are they really a team that should be going out there and trying to do the optimal thing at the end of a game like that? Or they should be?
Yes. Well, yes, that.
Yeah?
Those two questions aren't the same.
Well, that's winning the game.
No. They shouldn't want to win games, but when you're on the field, you actually have to try to win games. You can't not try. You can't do the Belichick, Matt Castle, throw this into the crowd thing.
Well, Belichick did it with Matt Castle.
And it was to set up a playoff opponent.
I guess.
That's a little different. But no.
This is to set up a draft pick.
No. If you do that during the week, you do that during the offseason, but from 1 to 4 on Sunday, you're trying to win a football game with all 53 guys that are out there. That I firmly believe. I'm not on Elliott Wolf's high horse that he was on before the season. Oh, we would never tank. We'd never trade. We'd never do this.
I'll put a team together that looks like we're doing all that, but we're not actually going
to
do it.
Correct. Yeah. And that's fine. I'm on board with that. But once you're on the field, you have to call the game to try to win the game. You have to inject that into those players. Because some of these players are going to be back. And you can't, like... You can't poison the pool of talent by I don't believe in that. Once you're on the field competing for those 60 minutes, you're trying to win the game.
Yep.
You absolutely have to.
Fair enough. And I was sort of tongue-in-cheek when
I know that,
but I also do think that there's decisions getting made right now that may be losing the locker room, you know? Like you keep
Just bad.
You keep going on this direction with the quarterback on the bench that maybe a big percentage of the locker room thinks could be winning games, then all of a sudden it's that same kind of thing, isn't it?
Or just how about the offense? Let's just say the offensive line and the running backs. Aren't they thinking, what the F are we doing?
Right.
We're running the ball well. We've run the ball well all day. Our touchdown was a running play. Our line, which has been much maligned.
151 yards on 19 carries.
Yeah. Has an opportunity here to run it in. Like this offensive line that we have crapped on for months.
Yep.
July, August, and September had an opportunity to have a marquee day. We ran it down their throats when we needed to. We punched it in the end zone. We got a gritty, ugly win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just throwing the ball? Like, if you're a lineman and a running back, aren't you questioning what the hell you're doing there?
Yeah.
Right?
Or why we're doing it with this quarter. Like, all right, you bring in May and you start throwing, fine.
Yeah, no, I'm saying in this game, in that situation, why would we stop running the football? And even to run the clock out, like, there's really no logical reason why they threw the ball. And even Gerard struggled to answer that. Did you hear his answer last night? He kind of stumbled and bumbled when they asked him basically why you guys were throwing the ball four straight
times.
Yes,
I do remember it being sort of an
Because there's no real answer.
There's no good
answer. It's basically, haven't had my staff meeting yet, and we need to talk to AVP and ask him what the... But I also would
staff
argue...
Staff meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Overrule him. Like, whether it's pushing the little button on your thing to switch over to his channel, or just run down the sideline, grab him around the... In light of recent news, I almost said, grab him by the shoulder and be like, what the F are you doing? Run the ball. And so inexplicable. And I think that can do damage. That can do, not mutiny. I'm not calling it a mutiny, but I think it can do damage to trust within the team and having faith in your coaches to put you in the position to win a football game.
Raheem Mostert had as many carries as the entire Patriots team. He had 19 carries. Patriots had 19 carries, all of them put together. Isn't that, you know, like, it's just...
And Brissett threw the ball 34 times.
Yeah.
In a one-score game that they led the entire way.
Yeah, for 160 yards. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Let's go to Kurt on the Cape. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing today?
How you doing? Kurt, what's going on?
All right, man. I'm all right, man.
Okay.
You know, I'm 100% with you, listen, on this one. You know, we're going to have to, like, Drake May is our hope, you know. Jacoby Brissett just doesn't have it, you know, and it's just not going to happen. He's not going to move the football. And I think he's had enough games where he should be able to come in after this thing and come in and start. And now let's start getting, so the seats are getting empty. Nobody wants to watch them. They look like crap. I mean, they should have won the game. They should have won the game. They had the game won. We know that. But it's not on their favor. So, you know. So I'm just saying, I'd love to see Drake May get back in there, you know, get in there and start getting this, you know, the second half of the season. I know it's lost, but at least let's make an effort to win.
All right. Thanks for the call. Thank you very much.
Win. Like just him, win, baby.
I mean, I think we're past the point of wanting to really see him win. But for all the warts and all the problems with this offense, if you had a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, a good one, let's say middle of the road type of Geno Smith. I guess Geno Smith's pretty good this year. I don't know. Somebody, Matt Stafford or someone who's not having a good year on this team, you're probably 3-2, right?
Yeah,
Win that Seattle game, and you probably win that game yesterday, and that makes you 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, because butterfly effect, pros and cons, right, giveth, taketh kind of thing. But I don't even know if you need a good quarter. Just playmaker. So make some plays.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a game where any team that makes a couple plays is going to win the game because there were no plays made. It was ineptitude on full display. So it was one of those where you could have bad drive, bad drive, bad drive. Oh, he put a drive together.
Yep.
Maybe you make three throws. Maybe three throws totaling like 62 yards. Ooh, 20 yards a throw? It's not crazy to think.
No.
And
there's only
has
five teams that have better records than 3-2 right now. Only five teams in football. 3-2, you're tied for six with a bunch of other teams for the sixth best record in the NFL.
Yeah.
All right, just saying, early on here, I know there's a long way to go, but instead of where you are right now, and I don't know that Drake May necessarily could have even done that for you. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to look like when he comes out
there. He might throw three picks, and it's a pick six, one of them, and you lose by 21 because he made plays for the other team.
Right.
That is a possibility. But I can tell you this. The one thing we saw for certain, and the one thing that Drew Wilkins saw for certain, and everyone else on the defensive side of the ball, and Mike Pellegrino to the point where he can throw a deep ball.
Right.
He can make plays down the field, and you could have used that even situationally. I know it's crazy to do this, but you could argue if you decided you're throwing for the end zone in the final minute, he's a better guy to throw for the end zone.
100%.
Now, unfair to him.
You could have Milton come in and do that, too. Yeah.
Right. Well, but even him, he's so hot and cold.
Milton launches one from, like, the 40 on the other side.
And he hits, like, the banner up on the Super Bowl and is like, hey, I hit a banner. That's a banner day.
He, like, hits Robert Kraft.
Yes. But, no, it would be unfair to him, but he's the best thrower of the football they have. Combined arm strength, accuracy, whatever. We saw it. Some of those deep balls he threw in training camp were things of beauty.
Yeah.
Whether it was in drills, one-on-ones.
Brissett had a throw to Douglas that got broken up in the end zone. You remember this? Douglas was coming across the middle.
Yes.
Brissett throws it up to him, and the safety knocked it away. He was open by about 6 feet. And Cadlick retweeted this and sort of showed where the separation was. I didn't notice it in real time, but I guess it was an All-22 video he had. And you can see it. If he throws that flat under the safety, Douglas catches it and moonwalks into the end zone. He overthrew it, and Douglas had to go and break it up.
So I noticed that live. My hesitation there is, I don't know if it's a bad throw or a bad route. They clearly were not on the same page.
Right.
But the problem is, I don't give either of them the benefit of the doubt. Like in the old days, if that's Brady throwing to somebody, I go, the guy ran the wrong route.
Right.
He flattened it, and he's supposed to keep going at an angle to the pylon, right? So, but that's a perfect example of this passing game just, it ain't it, as the kids say. Mm-hmm. It ain't it. And the receivers have been changed. The receivers have been rotated through. And this is where I go back to, if you have one solution, Gerard Mayo's word, not mine, this is a solution business, right? If you're looking for solutions, those are options. Those are changes, correct?
Yeah.
You have a solution. And I don't know if it's a positive solution, but it's a potential solution that they haven't tried.
Yeah.
And he wears number 10, and all I ever see him having is that little wire clipped to his thing that goes up to a piece in his ear, and he's just kind of just walking around, listening to plays, not really doing anything. Put him to use.
Yeah. Put them to use. Let's see it. Let's see the car get out of the garage.
And then we can bitch about it later if it stinks.
And we will, and we definitely will. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. A very, very poor game, and this is Gerard Mayo's words, not mine. Discipline-wise, the penalties. Oh, my goodness. 12 penalties, over 150 penalty yards. Who's on the hot seat on that sideline? We'll get to that next. No, it was not a good day, penalty-wise. Patriots committing 12 penalties. over 150 plus yards with the 12. Let me get the exact number here. That would be 12, or no, not 150, 105. 12 for 105 yards. It was the Dolphins with 6 for 54. An ugly game all around. Double the number, though, for the Patriots. A lot of holds. A lot of the early movement. Just a generally sloppy game. And, you know, this is the type of thing that it's, you can't coach talent, right? Like, you know, that's something either you have or you don't. Like, either you get it's like you can't coach speed, you can't coach height. You know, talent, I guess you can sort of mold and form it, but either the players have it or they don't, right? Like, that's sort of the point. You can coach this. You can coach 12 penalties. You can coach holding. You can coach not making the same mistakes over and over, false starts, all that sort of stuff. And it seems like, for all the talk of what Gerard Mayo was going to be good at, and if we didn't expect him to be perfect with X's and O's right away, I certainly didn't. I don't think you did. I don't think anyone did. I don't think anyone thought he was going to be this brilliant X's and O's guy right off the rip. I think we all expected that he would be getting these guys to play with discipline, to be in shape, stuff that we saw in the first week, you know, not miss tackles, not turn the ball over, all that sort of stuff. That lasted approximately a week, maybe two, if you want to throw in the Seattle game too. And since then, it has been brutal. I mean, it's just been an undisciplined, sloppy mess. And you wonder, like, where's the message going? Is it even landing anymore?
And the reality is, when you have a dozen penalties, points a finger at the head coach.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way to look at it other than you're an undisciplined football team, especially when they kind of checked off all the boxes of penalties. You know, 12
all different
men,
kinds, yeah.
Delay a game on a punt, you know, a horse collar, a roughing the passer, hold, like, I feel like
that was one of the most blatant horse collars I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
By the way. I mean, he didn't.
And I don't.
Usually they try and, like go around the side of the right. shoulder or something. They just grab them and yank
that
them
one
down.
Really doesn't bother me in a way, because it's like, if I don't do that, I'm not making the tackle.
Right.
So is that what you want me to do, coach? Would you rather, you know, I don't even know what the coaching point there is. Like, he's a really fast guy who's getting away from me, and that's sort of the, I mean, I guess I'll aim lower and grab his pants.
Yeah.
And grab his
don't give
whatever.
Up a touchdown. It's the only way not to give one up if
right.
he takes that in the moment.
But delay a game on a punt or 12 men on a punt return, those are about as undisciplined as you can get. And when we look at it from afar, we always do it. We always look at penalties and say, that's on the head coach. They're a sloppy football team. I think from afar, if I were looking at this team, I'd say that's what happens when you hire a former player who didn't have a lot of experience, who's just trying to get by on emotion and relationships and doesn't have the fundamentals of coaching down and doesn't have the respect of his players. Like, I think that's how you would kind of just take that number and turn it into a take or an opinion, right? And I don't know that that's all fair, but that's how it's looked at, and that's on him to fix it. And then you marry that up with sloppy practices, according to Mark Sanchez, mm-hmm. and things going on in practice. And then you marry it up with some of the mutiny talk or the players calling each other out for, you know, being selfish. And there's just a lot of layers to this that can fall nowhere else than at the feet or on the desk of Gerard Mayo. And he's got to figure these out sooner rather than later, because, you know, you already have, who was the caller earlier? That was, everybody's out. Mayo's going to be out, and Alex Van Pelt. I think it's a little ridiculous to say that this early.
Yeah.
But you're trending in the wrong direction. They played their worst football game, in my opinion. Even though the score wouldn't indicate it, they may have played their worst football game on Sunday, coming off arguably their worst football game the prior Sunday, coming off arguably their worst football game the prior Thursday, right? And that was after they gagged away a potential win in week two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt they're trending in the wrong direction. And that's not how it's supposed to work. Remember when he guaranteed we'll be better in I think he used October. I think he said, I guarantee we'll be better in October than we are in September. And then we'll be better in November than we are in October. That is not happening.
No. So far, they're just getting continually worse every single week. And it's you think you hit the bottom and we're already at week five.
Are they circling the drain?
Probably. They're probably pretty close to that. Which, by the way, we haven't done that yet today. You want to do that right now? Who's circling the drain?
Great job, Andy.
That we have not gotten to that
subtlety
yet.
Is my thing.
So let's go ahead. It's time now for our look at the league leaders and who's circling the drain, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipe. Patriots circling the drain. Is that who you're going with?
Yeah, Patriots' quality of play mm-hmm. over the last month is circling the drain, because it's spinning, and it's going downward. and it's getting sucked down the drain and flushed away, whether you have a septic or town sewer.
Leading the league, I got to go with the Minnesota Vikings, who are overseas and managed to hold off a late charge there from the Jets to hold on and get a 23-17 win. They're undefeated. I think they're, along with the Chiefs, the only undefeated teams left in the league right now. Yeah, and the Chiefs play tonight, so we'll see if that even holds up here going forward. The Chiefs obviously are very good. I'd say outside of the Vikings leading the league, maybe the Commanders, 4-1. The Commanders are one of the top teams in the NFC and all of the NFL right now, and they want to get out of four game win
streak.
They
have a rookie quarterback.
I know.
That's not possible.
It's impossible to see this.
You can, what are the chances that 2 years in a row a team plays a rookie quarterback and he makes them good?
Yeah. How about that?
It's weird when you just throw it out there.
Every team that drafted a quarterback, even the ones who aren't playing right now, are all good. Like, they're all pretty good. The Commanders are 4-1, look like they have something special right there. The Bears are 3-2, which is at the bottom of the North right now, but that's only because the Vikings and the Lions are up at the top there. They're tied with the Packers. All of them have a record above 500. The Vikings drafted a quarterback. He got hurt, isn't playing. They're undefeated. The Falcons made a draft pick at quarterback with Penix. He's sitting on the bench. They're 3-2. The only team that drafted a quarterback in the first round who sucks right now is you. That's
right.
It. You're the only one.
And add in that the Bo Nix-led Broncos played.
Oh, I forgot about the Broncos. Right. They're also 3-2. Yes.
And they played in the greatest uniforms in the history of the world yesterday.
So awesome. Those are good.
You can tell if you're watching on Twitch, I like orange, and those orange blues with the big bucking Bronco coming through the D, like, ooh, that's a good. The letter D, Brian. What is wrong with you?
I know what you meant.
Jesus.
This guy, dirty mind over here.
No kidding.
Who would ever stop a segment? To
these kids today.
Amplify something that was vaguely sexual that Andy Hart said.
Well,
I would never do that. I've never done it before.
You on a Friday.
And I'm a little insulted that Brian Frazoco over here thinks that was, so clever. Anyways, 617-779-7937, your phone number. We're running out of time here. We only got 2 hours left. Don't know what's going on with either Jonathan Jones or Jacoby Brissett. Hopefully we talk to him here in the next 2 hours. In the meantime, we'll get to the defense, which we touched on briefly. The defense who's bad news all around the game, and certainly what happened to one of their captains and is still in the process of happening right now. We'll get to all of that next.